This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good evening. My name is Dan Martisello, Commissioner of the Department of Corrections and Community Supervision, and I'd like to provide you an update as we now conclude the 18th day of this illegal strike. As you're aware, after the illegal strike began, we entered into mediation with an independent mediator to try to resolve the issues brought forward by the employees of the department. A week ago today, we announced an agreement with the independent mediator of a consent award, which required employees to return to work by March 1st in substantial compliance. Unfortunately, our employees rejected that award and did not return to work, making that agreement null and void. Recognizing that I needed to hear from my workforce directly, I traveled the state and took phone calls from correction officers and correction sergeants across this state, hearing directly from them what would be necessary in order for them to return to the workforce. Earlier today, I was provided with the tenets of an agreement that would be necessary for them to return to work. I had a meeting with President Chris Summers and his executive vice president in my office, where we reviewed the terms of the agreement that the workforce had provided to me directly. We had a verbal agreement that the union would enter into a memorandum of understanding between myself, the director of the Office of Employee Relations, and NYSCOBA, President Chris Summers. Unfortunately, this evening, President Summers and his executive board have refused to sign the memorandum of understanding, once again failing his members. I heard my workforce loud and clear, and I will not fail to deliver on what I promised. So tonight, I will deliver the tenets and the content of that agreement to my workforce. It is predicated on them returning to duty tomorrow. And some of the contents include establishing a committee focused on safety and including other unions being offered to participate, dealing directly with the effects of HALT on both the safety of staff and the incarcerated. I will continue to exercise my discretion under the law to halt the programming aspects of the HALT law for the next 90 days. We agree to allow staff as they transition back to continue working 12-hour shifts until it is determined that each facility has returned to normal operations. At that time, we will then return employees to their 8-hour shifts, including the shift and squad they were originally assigned to, and the superintendents will take measures to the best of their ability to ensure that they honor an employee's regular day off. We've agreed to continue the 2.5 times overtime 30 days from the day they return to work. We've also agreed to expedite the reallocation requests for both correction officer and correction sergeant for the Department of Civil Service to complete the review and analysis within 2 months, a process that normally takes almost 18. We've agreed not to issue any form of notices of discipline as covered under the collective bargaining agreement to any employee who returns to work tomorrow. In addition, I am again confirming that I have rescinded my 70-30 memo that I previously issued on February 10th. Again, we will take the necessary steps for all employees who return to work tomorrow to adjourn Taylor Law contempt proceedings against the individuals that have already been named. We will investigate and pursue contracts with private vendors to deal with the screening of legal mail in order to keep contraband out of our facilities that are currently impacting our employees as well as the incarcerated population. We're willing to continue to discuss the possibility of TSA scanners for the entrance into our correctional facilities. And I will also, upon employees' return to work tomorrow, we will reinstate, effective immediately, the health insurance of those employees who had their health insurance terminated on the date of their return. The National Guard will remain in support posture as we continue to stabilize and draw down as necessary under the governor's direction. And we also have agreed to sign this as a memorandum of understanding, which we will publish online on our website, reflecting both my signature and the signature of the Director of Employee Relations. Correction officers must return and remain at work, meaning they still have time off, but they must remain in work status and not rejoin any illegal strike tomorrow morning at 6:45 if they're assigned to the day shift. If they're originally assigned to the afternoon or the midnight shift, then they must return by 6:45 p.m. And if they do, all of the contents of this agreement, which will be posted online, will apply to those employees. Commissioner Bray?
Thank you, Commissioner Martisello, and thank you for your truly extraordinary leadership during this incredibly difficult time. I want to be exceedingly clear. This deal is for those who return tomorrow and only for those who have previously returned, who remained on the job, or for those who have returned tomorrow. Any corrections officer or any sergeant who does not return to work tomorrow, the terms will not apply. And this deal will not be offered again. Specifically, we will not negotiate concerning the dismissal of contempt charges again. It is being offered for those who return tomorrow. We will not again offer employees who have been terminated or resigned the ability to return and the ability to return without discipline. The state will, we are prepared to, and we will exercise all of our rights and all remedies, criminal and civil, to end this illegal strike. And we will take action against those who continue to refuse to return to work illegally. That action will include continuing to pursue civil contempt charges, adding additional corrections officers and sergeants who continue to participate in this legal strike to the Attorney General's list under the temporary restraining order. In fact, we sent 1,000 additional names to the Attorney General's office today alone. We will continue to pursue terminations for those who do not return to work tomorrow. We want you back. We need you back. You need to come back to work tomorrow.
I want the correction officers and correction sergeants across the state that continue to participate in the illegal strike to know that I heard you. I received your demands. I received the terms of what you'll come back to work for. And as Commissioner Bray said, we need you. We want you. We recognize the important work that you do in the continuum of public safety and keeping our community safe. The governor recognizes that we need to continue to recruit people to this position and how critical it is. As a result, she has directed me to launch a very aggressive recruitment campaign to attract the next generation of correctional professionals to join you in this important work. Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you on the job tomorrow.
We'll take questions.
All right, our first call is for Robert Harding from the Auburn Citizen.
Hi, commissioners. My question is for Commissioner Martisello. How did the negotiations with the rank and file members come together, and just, you know, where, I guess, how did that develop over time, you know, given what happened with the mediation and then to now with, you know, really hearing directly from the striking officers instead of the union?
Yeah, thank you for the question. As I had mentioned, once the mediation agreement had failed and the employees did not return to duty, I traveled across the state visiting facilities, facilitating meetings with staff that were on the line striking and participating in the ongoing strike, as well as took numerous phone calls. I solicited my superintendents to go out to the lines and offered to have conversations directly with me and those on the line. They went back to the line, spread the word, and then got back to me with what would be required for them to return to duty. And that's how this memorandum of understanding came to be.
All right, our next call will be in from Jung-un Han from WXXI.
Hi there, thanks for taking this. I am wondering what exactly is different about this agreement MOU compared to the failed mediation agreement. And for the less than 10 officers that the state has terminated, if they return to work tomorrow, what happens to them? Will they be given their jobs back?
Both are posted online.
Yeah, both are posted online. But I think the important thing is that this reflects the will of the people that are on the line. We heard directly from them. Clearly, they did not like the contents of that consent award. And this is directly what they want to see in an agreement. And that's what we're delivering to them here today. In terms of those that were terminated, if they report to work tomorrow, even those that have resigned from duty, if they report to work tomorrow, we will accept them. We will rescind their terminations and they can continue to work for the department.
And just to be clear, I think your less than 10 number comes from our Monday briefing. We have continued to terminate additional corrections officers and sergeants who are participating in this illegal action since Monday. And we've terminated or sent termination notices to dozens more.
And a follow-up, does this current mediation agreement or MOU, does it outright ban 24-hour shifts? I understand that's been a big concern for striking officers.
I've directed my superintendents to avoid 24-hour shifts at all costs. With the return of staff working 12-hour shifts, that is clear. We will not need any 24-hour shifts. And as we transition, we will ensure that we will not be working 24-hour shifts moving forward. We heard the membership loud and clear. That is something that we want to clearly move away from as we continue down this path to restoring the safety of our institutions, as well as giving our staff a work-life balance.
Our next question comes from Robert Gavin, the Buffalo News.
My question is, this memorandum of agreement is, would it be accurate to say that this has happened? This is an agreement that was ultimately has not been agreed to by NYSCOBA. So without NYSCOBA's involvement, is there any legal issue with it?
Yeah, as I mentioned, this was a memorandum of agreement that I had verbal agreement from the union president that he was going to sign this evening. Unfortunately, he's not signed that agreement. And I want to keep my word to my staff to uphold the things that they've asked me for. So I will be publicizing this online. And you've heard directly from me here tonight that these terms outline that my employees asked for will be upheld. And we will follow this to the letter for those individuals that return to duty tomorrow.
All right, our last question comes from Alex Galt, the Watertown Daily Times.
Hi, commissioners. Thank you very much for doing this evening. I wanted to ask, my reporting, I've spoken with some sources who say that the union is actively trying to quash this deal, trying to tell its members not to agree to it. So my question is two-part. First, what do you say to those efforts? And secondly, do you consider the union to still represent the interests of its officers, of the officers in docs, or are you considering or do you see them as perhaps out of touch with the members on the line?
Well, what was clear to me that after we went through a mediation process with an independent mediator where the union advanced what was supposed to be reflective of the membership across the state, that the membership, my employees, rejected those ideas out of hand and did not return to work on March 1st as the consent award would have required, thus making that consent award null and void. So now that I've heard directly from people that are walking the line, that do the job each and every day inside of our facilities, and the fact that the union will not deliver what the membership, my employees, want, and have now decided out of hand to dismiss this memorandum of understanding, I'll let you draw your own conclusions. But I'm here to say that I heard my workforce. I want to support them and continue to support them and continue to work on the safety issues that they've raised while out on the line. I want to end this illegal strike. We need to get back to some form of normalcy. And this delivers the things that they've asked for. And I am determined to make sure that I deliver for them. They deserve it. We've heard them. We need them. They play an important role in public safety.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.